We left off on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. We're at the Mishnah toward the top of Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, five lines down into the page. Says the Mishnah, Hakosiv Nechasav Lubanav, if a person wants to write over his Nechasim to his children, he has to write the special lashon in the shtar that he's writing over his nechasim mehayom ula achar misa. What exactly is the case over here? The Rashbam fills us in on the details. Bari, says Rashbam, a healthy person, not someone who's on his deathbed, charotza lisa isha, who's interested in getting married. The only thing is he has children from a previous marriage, and he's worried ve'inarotza l'shabe nechasov l'ishto. He doesn't want all of his nechasim that he has to be meshuba to his wife, to pay off her ksuba, because he's afraid maybe his children are going to lose out because they're not going to get any of the nechasim, because all of these nechasim are meshuba to his new wife. So he wants to be able to keep these nechasim away from his new wife so that they can be sure to go on to his children. Now, while he's alive, he would still like to enjoy these nechasim. So he's not ready to just give it as a matana to his children. He would still like to have these nechasim while he's still alive. But for after he's dead, he'd rather that instead of it going to his wife to collect the ksuba from, he'd prefer that it go to his children. Elisha Yochel Peros Bechayev, he just wants to continue to eat the peros while he's alive. So what does he do in that case? Tzarich sheyichtov me'ayom alachar misa. He writes such a lashon of me'ayom alachar misa. Demashma me'ayom yekani l'chaguf levado, which implies that right now you, the children, are being kona the guf hakarka ulachar misa teinig meres hamatana shetochel gama peros lachar misasi. And then after I die, that's when you're going to be kona the peros of the karka. That's when you're going to be able to start eating the peros from the karka. But so long as I'm still alive, children will own the guf, but I'm going to be entitled to all of the peros. Aval b'lo mehayom l'nosanam klum. However, if he doesn't say the word mehayom, then the giving is totally worthless. De'ein matana la'achar misa, because a person can't give a matana after he dies. De'bayhi shaita in lochelk ben shiuchala knosan, because once a person is dead, he no longer is the owner of it, so he can't be makna anything. Ownership ends at death. So since he's not the owner of the karka anymore, once he's dead, it's impossible for him to make the kinyan after he's dead. So he needs to have the kinyan be chal now. The kinyan is chal now when he says the word me'ayom, and it's just that he gets to continue to eat the peros until li'achar misa. Now Rashi Maseches Ksuba says that this din of me'ayom li'achar misa, that a guy wants to give up his nechasim to his children while he's still alive, but still be able to eat the peros from it, Rashi Maseches Ksuba and Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis says that this is only by a matnas bari, as the Rashbam was very clear at the beginning, that it's dafka a bari sherot salisa isha. It's a bari who's interested in doing this. But if we're a matnas shchiv mira, the children are not kona the guf hakarka while he's alive, because we assume by matnas shchiv mira that the das of the father is that nothing should happen right now. Everything should only happen after he dies. Even Rabbi Yossi, who says, which we're going to see in a second, Rabbi Yossi, who thinks it's unnecessary to say Mahayom Ulachar Misa, even that is only by Matnas Bari, that we assume that his intention is to make it from right now. But by Matnas Shchiv Mira, even though he writes today's date in the Shtar, and Rabbi Yossi holds the date means everything, you don't even need to say Mahayom, the date tells you that's when you want it to be Chal. But even Rabbi Yossi would be Moda by Matnas Shchiv Mira, that clearly the intention is that it should only be chal after the death. Let's just see that line of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Amareinu Tzarech. Right in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says that it's not necessary to write Mehayom Ulachar Misa. The kinyan could be chal now, even though right now, even though you don't write Mehayom, because you wrote the date on the shtar, and the date on the shtar tells you that you want it to be Mehayom. Now, why doesn't it work Liachar Misa? So the Rashbam said, it doesn't work Liachar Misa because you no longer own the property, Liachar Misa. And that seems to make the most sense, that if you're not the owner at Liachar Misa, so it's not going to work Liachar Misa. In fact, Rashi, in Maseches Gittin, Daf Tesan Beis, says that the reason that you can't give an Eved, a Shtar Shichur, Liachar Misa Sa'adon, is because Liachar Misa, you no longer own the Eved. You can't give an Eved, a Shtar Shichur can't be Chal on an Eved from an Adon after the Adon dies already, because the Adon is no longer the owner of the Eved once the Adon is dead. When a person dies, he can't take stuff with him to the grave. He doesn't own anything anymore when he dies. And that's always the Pasha Pshat, And that's what the Achronim are bothered by, that Rashi at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Beis Amud Beis in Maseches Ksuvos tries to explain the klal that ain get la'achar misa. Why is it that a get can't be chal after a person dies? So based on our Rashbam, based on Rashi and Ksuvos, it seems pashut. What do you mean? Ain get la'achar misa is because you're no longer married, la'achar misa. Just like you no longer own your karka, la'achar misa. Just like you no longer own your eved, la'achar misa. You no longer have a wife, la'achar misa. That would seem to be the most pashut way of understanding it. Yet Rashi, Maseches Ksuvos, Daf Beis Amud Beis, seems to give a different reason. Rashi says the reason ain get la'achar misa, he says three words. Ain ha'mesim misgarshim. That mesim megarshim. Mesim can't divorce. Dead people can't get divorced. He doesn't say that dead people aren't married. And that's why... No, dead people don't have the koach to get divorced. Why doesn't he just say the pashut pshat? That it's not that it's a chisaron in a mace, that he's not a bar hakna. Just say it's a chisaron that a mace simply is no longer married. So that's what the Achronim explain, that the difference is that when it comes to marriage, is it so pashut that when a man dies, that his marriage is completely gone, completely over, and that he has no shaychus to his wife anymore? This is a major discussion we've discussed in the past, and the Behuda has a shayla. Legabe the issue of kibur av and kibur em, your father tells you one thing, your mother tells you another thing, and la'achar misa sa'av, is everything all evened out? Do we say, meaning normally when mother and father are still alive, right, and you listen to the father instead of the mother because she's also chayv b'kvodo. If they're divorced, so then you put it down in between them, you know, if they both ask you for a glass of water, you put the glass of water, two glasses of water down between them and let them go for it themselves. You're not gonna, machlokas Achronim, whether it means you're not allowed to make the decision or you could choose whichever one you want. But certainly there is no order of precedence. What if one of them died? What if the father died? Do we assume, well, you know, there's the chiv of kavod for a chayim is for sure going to be better than the chiv of kavod for a mace. Just like if they're divorced, or maybe you say it's your choice. Just like if they're divorced, it's your choice. Over here also, it's your choice. Or maybe no. Maybe you say the mother's still chayiv in the kavod of the father. That there's a difference between gerushin and misa. That by misa, it's by gerushin, the marriage is for sure absolved, and therefore it's dissolved rather, and therefore you make your choice. But by misa, maybe there's still something to that marriage. So that's what the Nodi Buda discussed. And the Nodi Buda strongly rejects that there's anything left to the marriage. But some of the Achronim explain, no. Sometimes by misa, we know there's something left to the marriage. It's what we call the zika. If the husband dies and there are no children, so there's still that marriage still carries forward in the form of, as we discussed yesterday, in the form of an iser lav l'shuk, that she's not allowed to marry other people. So you see that there's still something to the marriage after the death. So whereas when it comes to a kinyan in mammon, like my ownership of a field or my ownership of an eved, la'achar misa, the kinyan mammon clearly doesn't exist. You no longer own anything, and that's why la'achar misa, the get shichur is not going to be chal, and that's why in our Gemara, la'achar misa, my shtar matana can't be chal, because I no longer own anything, la'achar misa. When it comes to an isha, it's not so pashut that la'achar misa, nothing is in existence anymore. It's not so pashut that la'achar misa, nobody owns anything anymore. It could be that by an isha, la'achar misa, they're still married somewhat. That would have been the havamina. And that's why Rashi has to go out of his way, Maseches Ksuvos Daf Beis, and say no, that ein ha'mesim megarshim, mesim can't get divorced, even if there is some marriage left to get divorced from, mesim are incapable of affecting such a divorce because they're dead, and that's a weakness that they have in being able to effect a divorce. Fine, says the Mishnah Vayter, Hakosiv nechasov lebno la'achar moso. If a person writes over his nechasim to his son, for after he dies, so meaning he does this trick where he's going to be able to have the payroll so long as he's alive, but the children own the guf hakarka. So ha'avin yachol limkar mreshen ksuvin leben. The father's not allowed to sell these nechasim because they're earmarked already sold to the son. Not just earmarked, but the child actually, in fact, already owns the kinyan guf of the karka. The son can't sell them because they're still in the reshus of the father, meaning the father is the one that still has control over the kinyan peros, and that's considered that they're in his reshus. So the son is therefore not able to sell it either. Machara av, what if the father does sell it? Mechura matriyavos, they remain sold until the father dies. Machara ben, what if the son does sell it? Ein lokech ben klum atchiyamas av. Then the lokech, again, the lokech can only be kona what the son has. The son doesn't have the rights to anything until the father dies. And if the father sold it, the lokech can only be kona what the father has. And the father only has the rights up until the point that he dies. And therefore, the lokech is only going to be kona what the person he's buying it from is able to be makne to him. The Ritva says that which the Mishnah says, Machra Av Machur Machiyamos, is only if his Shratza Lokech. It's only if the Lokech was okay with it. Let's say the Lokech didn't know. A guy was kosting Nechasav Lubanov, Mayom Alachar Misa, like in our Mishnah. Right? So the father still only owns the Kinyan Peros. The child owns the Kinyan Aguf. The father's only entitled to the Peros as long as he's alive. And he goes over to some unsuspecting Lokech, and he says, here, I'm selling you this Karka. Lokech sees the father's living there. He knows that it was Becheskas, the father, for many years. So he assumes the father's really the owner of the karka. He doesn't realize that the father had already been kosev lubanov, this karka. So says the Ritva, that's what we call a mekach tos. The lokech kentaina, I didn't know I was buying only kinyan peros while you're alive, and then after you die, the karka is going to go over to your child. That's for sure a mekach tos. And there's no eino no lekarkos over here, because that's only bonas damim. But over here, the lokech, clearly, in terms of what he's being kona, he didn't know he's only being kona the peros. He thought he was being kona for a limited period of time. He thought he's being kona the entire karka. However, if the lokech knew that the father only has a kinyan peros, ad sheyamus, so then he can't make any sort of taina. However, what the Achrona point out, the Mishnah Melech points out, is what you see from the Ritva, what's implied from the Ritva, is that even though it was a mekach tos, the lokech had no idea, only the lokech is able to taina mekach tos and be mevata the mekach. Meaning, since the mocher knew exactly what he was selling, he was perfectly familiar with what his position was and with what his rights in the karka were, and he was selling to the lokeach, so he does not have the right to go back on the sale. The mocher can't be chozerbo because he knew that he only had a kinyan peros, and that's what he intended to sell. However, the Mishnah Melech points out that that's against the Rashba. The Rashba writes that if a husband sells nichse malug, so if he sells the peros alone, so he's totally allowed to do that, because nichse malug, although they belong to his wife, the peros belong to him. If he sells the guf and the peros, even if the lokeach says, hinichli lech lo peros, even if the lokeach says, all I want is the peros, we don't listen, because the baal intended to sell the guf and the peros. And if the mekach is batal legabe the guf, because it's not shaykh to the baal, so it's going to be batal legabe the peros as well. So what do you see? That if one of the parties doesn't know the score, and the other one does, right? One of the parties doesn't know exactly what he's getting, even though the other one does, the mekach is batal entirely. It's not only that one of them could taina, mekach tos. No, either one could say, look, this mekach was completely invalid. Even the guy who knew, even Lokeach, who knew he's buying from a husband, Nichse Maluk, he knew he's only buying Peros. But if the husband was told him, I'm selling you Peros and Guf, the whole Mekach is batel. So it says the Mishnah Lemelech, you see, that Rashba is against our Ritva, because our Ritva seems to assume that only the party that was cheated is able to have such a taina, but the party that knew exactly what was going on can have no such tainas and cannot blow up the sale. Okay. Mishnah Lemelech tries to explain that maybe they're not arguing, but okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara at the beginning of the Gemara now. V'chikasav, right? We're up to the Gemara. Yeah, v'chikasav me'ayom alachar misa me'ayavi. In fact, the Gemara, why does it help to write me'ayom alachar misa? Hatnan, don't we have a Mishnah? Me'ayom alachar misa get ve'enu get. That if a person gives a get and he writes such a lashon of me'ayom alachar misa, so it's a safek get. V'meis chalitzas flamis yevemis. And therefore, if he dies, the woman does chalitza kentu yibum and has a din of a safek get. So what do we say over here in our Mishnah? We say that it is a vadai matana on the guf, but not on the peros, so long as the father is alive. Why don't we say better? Say it's a suffix. I mean, say it's a suffix matana. By get, apparently, me'ayom alachar misa leaves us with a suffix. So why don't we say over here by a matana also, that the lashon me'ayom alachar misa leaves us with a suffix. So the Gemara answer is no, very fundamental difference. Hasa misafgalani tana havi chazara havi. Over there, we're not sure what you mean by me'ayom alachar misa. Do you mean it as a tanai, or do you mean it as a chazara? Aval hacha, hachi kamerle. But over here, what you mean is very clear. Gufa kani me'ayom, Pira lachar misa, that the guf should be makna to you, I should be makna the guf to you me'ayom, but the perus you're only going to get lachar misa. But Ikar Chasam and HaSefer a little bit over here. The Gemara says, yeah, over there it's obvious that, over there it's a suffix, we're not sure what you mean. Over here we know what you mean. But the Gemara doesn't explain why over here we know what you mean and over there we don't know what you mean. So that's what the Rashbam has to fill us in. If you look about 5-6 lines before they get wide. Umishani, Chasam gotta get lo shaychi bashtei matanos. Meaning by the get, you can't divide it into two parts. You can't say, oh, the get is going to be chal legabe this din, but not legabe that. Get by definition is you need get priestless. There's no way to divide a get into half, right? So since you have to mean one or the other, you must mean either me'ayom or you mean lachar misa, and we don't know which one you mean, but it has to be one side or the other. Lo shaychi b'shtei matanos ki hacha to name a mitzas aget me'ayom mitzas lachar misa. You can't split a get and say part of it is now, part of it is later. Kedamar gavim matnos karka, like you could say by karka. By karka, there's a very logical way to divide it. You could say the guf is me'ayom, the peris of the lachar misa. So certainly, if you could make both statements true, both the word me'ayom and the words lachar misa true, fantastic, make them both true. And that's what we're doing in our case. But by get, there's no such eitza. You can't make both of them work. Hilkoch, Masafkal, Anitana, Avim Chulik, Kedapricious. Aval Hacha, Ikuluk, Mitravayu, Shapir. But over here, both of them work. There's no reason to say that one works and the other one doesn't work. The Rashba and the Ritva point out, though, in the name of the Yushalmi asks, that by get also you could be Mechalik. Why can't you say the following by a get? That he wants to be Megarish her Mehayom, but the Maisi Adeha, he only wants to start giving up La'achar Misa. And your husband is entitled to the Maisi Adeishto. He would like to divorce his wife, but she has a really cushy job that makes a lot of money, and he likes getting that money. So he doesn't really want to give that up. He wants all the benefits. He doesn't want to be married to this woman anymore, but he would like her money. So he wants to divorce her in terms of the Ishus, but in terms of the Kinyan Mammon that he has in the Maisi Adeha, so that he only wants to be La'achar Misa. That's what the Yerushalmi asks. Why don't you say that you could split up by a get also the difference between, so to speak, the kinyan guf and the kinyan mamon? So the Yerushalmi says, no. Lo matzinu isha la'echad u'maisi yedah la'acher. You never have such an idea that a woman's going to be married to one guy and her maisi yedah will still be in the domain of somebody else. That doesn't work. That never happens. If you're going to say that the Baal was miskaven to leave for himself the maisi yedah until he dies, then we're choshesh that he's also miskaven to not complete the gerushin, to not be megarisher entirely, because maisi yadayim goes together with ishus. That's always the way it works. They go hand in hand. It's very similar, like being meshayer deka leperos, that since the Baal is leaving over such a significant suchus, we assume he's leaving over a little bit of the guf for himself as well, and then the get's going to be totally invalid. So you can't say that that's his intention. That doesn't work. A get krisus, you need davar akoris ben ilvena, there can't be anything attaching them to each other anymore, otherwise the whole get is invalid, and therefore we have to say it's either me'ayom or lachar misa, but not both. And that's why it's a suffix. That's why we don't know, and that's why Chaletzas v'lo misyavemis. Fine. Rav Elchanan asks a famous kashi. He says, how could the father be makne the guf me'ayom and the perus lachar misa if there's no kinyan lachar misa? Meaning, what exactly is going on in our Mishnah? Over here we're saying, yeah, they're both true. He's kone the guf me'ayom, the child is kone the guf me'ayom, and he's kone the perus lachar misa. What do you mean? You can't be kone things lachar misa. So what's going on with this kinyan lachar misa? So he says, no, that which the lokeach is kona lachar misa, is kona the peros lachar misa, doesn't mean that the kinyan is chal lachar misa. No, the kinyan is chal right now on the zman of lachar misa. Mashal ma davidoma, says Rav Elchanan, you have two shutfim, they buy a field. So how are they going to divide the field? So sometimes they'll say, okay, you take the north end, I'll take the south end, you take the east end, I'll take the west end, something like that. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes the way they divide it is, you take the first 2 years, I'll take the next 2 years, you take the... Right, and they switch off years. So they both bought the field together. But the guy who's not getting the first 2 years, where's his kinyan? It's going to be Lachar's man, it's going to be 2 years later. No, his kinyan is right now. It's just that he's only going to benefit from that kinyan when his turn comes up. So over here, says Rav Elchanan, when the father's makna the guf hakarka to the son, and the peros lachar misa is like a tanai in the kinyan. The kinyan of the peros is happening right now. When does he get to enjoy those peros? Only lachar misa. The father's retaining some ownership of peros. Not all ownership of peros, only the ownership of peros so long as the father's still alive. and then once he dies, then the son gets to enjoy the peros at that point. That's how Rav Elchanan visualizes this this kinyan, because it can't be that a kinyan is being chal la'achrimisa. There's no such thing. You don't have any such thing when it comes to kinyanim. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Eino Tzarek. Rabbi Yossi says you don't need to write such a lashon of mehayom la'achrimisa. It's unnecessary. Rabbi Baravua Chalash. So the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Baravua got sick once. Olegabe Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman. Both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman went to visit Rabbi Baravua. Amalei Rav Huna l'Rav Nachman. So Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, the one visitor says to the other visitor, Boi minei halach Rabbi Yossi v'ein halach Rabbi Yossi. Ask him whether we pass him like Rabbi Yossi. I mean, Rabbi Baravua, apparently a big Talmud Chacham, he's sick. They wanted to talk to him in learning while he was sick, maybe give him a little chias, but they also wanted to know what the halacha was. So he said, why don't you ask him? Unclear why he couldn't ask himself. They were both standing right there. Maybe one was a closer Talmud than the other. Maybe it takes, you know, when someone's sick to sit down, open up a Gemara and start learning with them when they're not really, when they're not really physically well, takes a certain amount of courage or knowing the person, knowing whether they're up for it or not. Arya Yunin just told me that his father was visiting his grandmother. His grandmother was 90-something years old. His father says, "Yeah, I was just learning a Mishnah with Bubby. You know, that's what he does. You know, so anyway, so he comes to be Mvakra Chola and he comes to sit and learn with him. So he wants to Halach Rabbi Yossi or Ein Halach Rabbi Yossi. Amalei Time it Rabbi Yossi Lo Yadana Halach Yibayimnei. He says, I'm going to ask whether Halach is like Rabbi Yossi. I don't even understand Rabbi Yossi. I don't even know what Rabbi Yossi's logic could be. How could I ask whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? I mean, you can't enter into a conversation completely ignorant. I don't even understand the shita. How could I ask if we pask in that way? Amalei at bayminei halacha ilo v'taima na amin halacha. He says, okay, good. Here's how it's going to work. You ask him what the halacha is, and don't worry, I'll explain to you the svara of Rabbi Yossi after you ask him what the halacha is. I'm not sure what this great hesitance to ask him himself, but he says, okay, you ask the halacha, and I'll figure out for you. I'll explain to you what the svara is. So bayminei. So he says, okay. So he asked him the halacha. So amalei. So he answered him. Hachi amarav halacha Rabbi Yossi. That Rav, in fact, paskins that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Nachman now found out the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. He goes back to Rav Huna and he says, okay, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, now you owe me an explanation. So busted enough, go Amrlei. So after they left, Rav Huna tells Rav Nachman, Hainu time with Rabbi Yossi. I'll tell you why Rabbi Yossi says it's not necessary to write Mehayom, even if you want the guf to be nicknamed Mehayom. It's very simple. Rabbi Yossi holds that when you put the date in the shtar, that's better than writing Mehayom. The date in the shtar is mochiach that you want it to be chal right now, and if the date says today, so then it's going to be chal today. Nothing else to talk about. So that's why we pass in this way. Now the says the Gemara Tani Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yossi Amar Eino Tzarek Meishas Manu Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, and we have a brisa that supports this. That Rabbi Yossi says that you don't need to write Mehayom because Manu Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, the date in the shtar is enough. It takes the place of Mehayom. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So Rav said that Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, right? Whoever it was that was sick was Rabbi Baravua said that Allah is like Rabbi Yossi. So do we actually paskin like Rabbi Yossi? Says the Rashbam, third wide line. V'hachi hilchsa Rabbi Yossi, and we in fact paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Dim kasav lachamisa kana afagav delo kasav mehayom. That it's unnecessary to write mehayom, even if you leave out the word mehayom, it's still going to be chal. The kinyan guf will still be chal right away. Da'amarav halach Rabbi Yossi, because Rav paskins like Rabbi Yossi. So it sounds like open and shut case. Very obvious that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. That's clearly the maskot of our Gemara. And in fact, Rav Nachman was going to trust Rabbi Baravua's judgment whether halach is like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Baravua said it was, and Rav Hilsak Rav Nachman bedini. We always paskin like Rav Nachman when it comes to dini mamnas. Rav Nachman trusted Rabbi Baravua, so good. It should be very obvious, says Rashbam. But we run into trouble. The Avagav Dam Perakam Megarish. There's a Gemara in Gittin Daf Peyam Beis where it says Iskin Rav Begitin Min Yoma Denan La'afuke Mid Rabbi Yossi. That Rav was misakin a special lashon in the get that you have to write Min Yoma Denan. That when's the get chal? From today. Why do you have to say from today? Isn't it obvious? You have a date on the get. Zmanu Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav. Why do you have to have such a lashon? A shufra d'shtara. What's the purpose of such a lashon? So apparently, because we don't hold like Rabbi Yossi. That's why we put Min Yoma Denan. So we see in that Gemara that we don't hold like Rabbi Yossi. Ella iskin islam the memra legabe get isha hol vein bo davar kinyan mishum hachiu de iskin le rav chadamilsa mishum chumradar rayos aval gabe bamona halach krabiyosi, says Rashbam. No, it's not a stira. By get is stam, because of the chumra da arayos, we try to be extra careful. We make sure we cross all the T's, dot all the I's when it comes to a chumra da arayos, when it comes to whether a woman is nacious ish or not. But la halacha, really, certainly when it comes to dina mamnus, like in our case, that will for sure paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Ki yesh lomar ki lomar rav halach Rabbi Yossi al bishtar sheish bekinyin. It could be that Rav, when he said halach Rabbi Yossi, and that he's willing to rely on Rabbi Yossi, in our Gemara, was saying it dafka by a shtar with money, when money's involved. Period. That's one answer that Rashbam has. V'reinu b'divrei ha-ga'onim zal sha'amru, hachi nehigi b'mesifta k'Rabbi Yehuda, v'afilu b'mamon k'takanas rav begitin. V'ilu ha'isak ha'balang b'yadam k'alach k'Rabbi Yehuda, lo yamanich n'alachu m'farshin minhag. And then he says from the ga'onim that the minhag by get is to write such an extra lashon in the shtar. But the halacha? The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, we're nohag in extra chumra, but certainly that's not required. The halacha, the halacha is going to follow the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. The Rif says similar to what the Rashbam says, but a little bit different. The Rif says that the chiluk between mamon and iser. By mamon we pass like Rabbi Yossi because you don't have to write me'ayom. By iser we pass in against Rabbi Yossi and you do have to write me'ayom. Not a chumra da rayos per se, but iser versus mamon. That a broader distinction between iser and mamon. The Ravid writes that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, bein b'mona, bein b'isura, and you don't have to write me a yom. Nevertheless, there's a rav chedemilsa u'misakin beget that you should write me a yom to make it. What's the rav chedemilsa to make it kasher l'choladeos? That by a get, you'd rather have a get that everyone holds of. Even if we paskin one way, even if we know that your get is completely kosher, the way we paskin, by get specifically, it's not stam, a chumra de get, that we try to be extra, it's more than just trying to be extra machmir. It's trying to fit every single day. That no one should be able to say about a certain get that it's possible. That's the idea of the chumra de get. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. What's the din by hakna'a? What does it mean, what's the din by hakna'a? So the Rashbam fills us in. B'shtar shekasu bo kinyin. A shtar that has a lashon of kinyin in it. Does Rabbi Yehuda still require that you write me'hayom? Or is it then self-understood, when you have a lashon of kinyin in the shtar, that it means that it's happening right now? Umishum hachi kamin bayle, says Rashbam. Why are we asking the shayla? Dika lememur de b'shtar matana below kinyin pligi, gon shakasav sada nesuna lach lachar misa, umasalos ashtar. One might have thought the whole machlokas in our Mishnah, whether you need to write me'ayom, is only by a shtar matana, where the lashon kinyin is not employed at all. Ukedekaimla, the karka niknam katsav b'shtar b'chazaka. But where you have a lashon kinyin, maybe everyone would agree to Rabbi Yossi that the lashon me'ayom is unnecessary. Samalei b'aknayan. He says, by akna, it's once you have a lashon of akna, you no longer need to write mehayom. It's obvious; everyone would agree, mehayom is unnecessary. Rav Papi Amar Ika Akniyasa de Tzarech, Vika Akniyasa de Lo Tzarech. Rav Papi says, not depends. Sometimes a lashon of kinyan will substitute for the need for mehayom, and sometimes it won't. It depends on the situation. It depends exactly how it's written. So, what's the chiluk? So he explains. Aknia v'kanina mine lotzarech. If you have a double lashon of both aknia and v'kanina mine, so then it's unnecessary. Kanina mine v'aknia tzarech. But if you have kanina mine first and then v'aknia tzarech, where do you have these two lashonos back to back in the shtar? So the Rashbam says, no, it's not back to back. It's when you write the shtar. One lashon you write in the beginning of the shtar, right? Kachamalanu havalai edim v'kanu mimeni, right? And v'kisvu v'chismu v'hainu aknia, says Rashbam, that's lashon aknia, when you're actually going through the lashon of the shtar where it describes the kinyan that's happening. And then the echad b'sof hashtar v'kaninim in ploni v'ploni k'kol ma'dakasav v'furish la'el, at the end of the shtar v'chozer b'shita achrona, we summarize at the end of the shtar everything that it said previously. So if you then add the word v'kanina at the end of the shtar, That tells you that everything is kosher. That's everything that we're making a kinyan, or everything that was said earlier. So if the lashon of aknia is at the beginning and vikanina is at the end, so then you don't need me'ayom. Then it's obvious that kinyan is meant to be immediately. If kanina is at the beginning and aknia is at the end, then you're still going to need me'ayom. Tosos disagrees. Tosos does not think we're talking about the beginning of the shtar and the end of the shtar, because it says Tosos pirush b'kuntra zechad brosh shtar vechad b'sof shtar k'dam v'tzark shiachsu minyan shtar b'shita achrona. The kasha, dayin lemeidin mishita achrona. We're not allowed to derive anything from the shita achrona. Val karch lemeidin de mishum hachi lo matzrich lichto me'ayom. And whatever we're talking about over here, we are deriving something from. We are learning from, because we're deciding whether you need me'ayom based on what it says. So Tosfos says it can't just be about the shita achrona. Yeah, but such a lashon v'kanina, meaning that's the essence of the shtar. You're saying that the whole kinyan should be chal right now. That was the maisa we had a few years ago, where we found someone's ksuba that didn't say v'kanina, where the Masada Kiddushin forgot to fill in the v'kanina. And Rav Willick Paskin, that the ksuba was possibly, you needed a new ksuba, because v'kanina wasn't filled in properly. I remember, when I was looking around, I was calling different Rabbanim to figure out the spelling. Should I write Valley Stream in the new ksuba? Should I write should I write North Woodmere? So one of the Rabbanim that I called said, what happened? I told him the Maisa, and he said, it's not possible. You shouldn't possible it. I said, with all due respect, you know, Rabbi Willig's, I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking, you know, come up to Rabbi Willig's shoelaces, so, you know, I prefer not to, you know, I already asked my Shiloh, thank you very much. But he said, you got to call Rav David Cohn. Ask Rav David Cohn. So I didn't call Rav David Cohn at the time, but 4 years later, I happened to have been sitting next to Rav David Cohn at a Shalosh Shittes. So I said, you know, I had a Maisa where we left out V'kanina. So, you know, where it was the Masada Kiddushin left out the V'kanina. He left out the Shmidjik and the Kuf, and it said V'ranina. And Rav David said, very interesting, he said, any time it's extremely obvious, just by looking at the Shtar, that it was a mistake, and that it was meant, it's still going to be Kasher. I thought that was interesting. He said, there's no word V'ranina. Obviously, it's meant to be V'kanina. Or if there's a space left out and it's meant to write V'kanina, when it's extremely obvious, you could just fill it in and it's kosher. That's what he paskel mahalacha. Yeah, we had a similar shaila this past summer. One of our talmidim, who's married, one of our old talmidim, his wife was looking through a ksuba and she noticed instead of it saying Rachel bas Moshe Yaakov, it said Rachel Moshe bas Yaakov, something like that. So he said, that's obvious, her name isn't Rachel Moshe. It says elsewhere in the Shtar, it's Rachel Bas Moshe Yaakov, right? So it's whenever it's obvious, he thought that you wouldn't require a new Shtar. Okay, so that's the Machlokas HaPoskim, I guess. So it says Gemara Vayter, Maskevah Rav Chanina Misura, Mika Midi Danan Lo Yadin and V'Safri Yadi. So Rav Chanina Misura says, wait a second, is there anything that the Rabbanim don't know and the Sofrim know? I mean, the Sofrim write such Lashonos in the Shtar, and they're going to be so medaktik in how they write it, because they know that if you write V'aknia first, then V'kanina, it means one thing. You write V'kanina, then V'aknia means something else. And the Rabbanim have sveikos about this. Shalnu l'sifre d'abai v'yadi, l'sifre d'rav v'yadi. And they asked the Sofrim of Abai, and they knew, and the Sofrim of Rava, and they knew, yeah, they knew this stuff. Rafun Rav Yeshua Amar, bein aknia v'kanina mine, bein kanina mine v'aknia lo tzarech. Then Rafun Rav Yeshua says, no, it doesn't make a difference which order you write it in. If you have such a lashon, both lashonos and the shtar, aknia and v'kanina mine, you don't need to write mehayom. That's all. Ubeduchron piskame dahavi ba anpana pligi, but if the shtar does not mention any kinyan, it just mentions an edus, and it doesn't mention any kinyan, so then there's a machlokas. That's where you have the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Am Rav Kahana, Am Risla Shmaita Kamed Rav Zud Minar Da, Var Meli Atun Hachi Masni Sula, Anan Hachi Masni Nula. He says, no, this is the way we learned it. Am Rav Nachman Bahakna Einu Tzarech. Bein aknia v'kanina, bein kanina mine v'aknia. Now Rav Nachman says that when there's any lashon of hakna'a, whichever direction it goes in, you're not going to need a lashon of mehayom. It's obvious, lo tzarech, you don't need mehayom. It's obvious that it's supposed to be mehayom. V'duchrim piskami d'havu ban pana pligi. But when it's just a kind of shtar that describes, it's a shtar edus, as opposed to expressing any sort of kinyan in the shtar, that's where you can have machloks Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you need mehayom or not. Okay, right there in the Gemara. So the Mishnah said, if a person writes over his nechassim to his child, for after he dies. So while he's alive, neither of them are allowed to sell it, right? The father can't sell it because he doesn't own the guf. The son can't sell it because he doesn't own the peros yet. The father, it's in the rishus of the father. If they do sell it, they only sold what they have the rights to. Itmar, machar, ben b'chayav, umesa, ben b'chayav. What if the son sells it while the father's alive, and then the son dies before the father? So when the father dies, does the karka go over to this other guy? Or do we say, no, the son just never received it? Some Rabbi Yochanan lo kana lokech. Rabbi Yochanan says lokech is not kona. Reish Lakish amar kana lokech. Reish Lakish says, no, this lokech takes the place of the son. And he is now kona. He now owns this piece of karka. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kana lokech kinyin peres kinyin aguvdami. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the lokech is not kona because so long as the father is alive, the father had the kinyin peros. And the halach is kinyin peros ki kinyin aguvdami. And therefore, the father is the rightful owner. Reish Lakish amar kana lokech. Reish Lakish says, the lokech absolutely is kone. Why? Kinyan peros lav ki kinyan aguvdami. The father only has a kinyan peros. Kinyan peros is not as strong as kinyan aguv, and therefore the lokeach is the rightful owner. The lokeach is the son is the one who had the kinyan aguv, and therefore he had the right to sell it to this lokeach. So lokeach now is the owner of the kinyan aguv, and when the father dies, the lokeach will own everything, will own the peros as well. So that's the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds kinyan peros ki kinyan aguv. Reish Lakish holds kinyan peros lav ki kinyan aguv dami. Frek the Gemara, come on, that's an old machlokas. But fligu b'chad zimna, they already argued about this once. How many times are they going to regurgitate the same machlokas? We're aware of this machlokas already. De itmar, where do we have such a machlokas? Hamocher sadeu l'peros, if a person sells his field only for the sake of the peros. Rabbi Yochanan amar mevi v'korei. So now, Reuven sells the field to Shimon. Reuven retains the rights to the guf hakarka, but he sells the peros of the field to Shimon. Now the peros grow, and someone's got to bring bikurim, perhaps. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mevi v'korei, he'll go and he'll bring bikurim. The guy who owns the peros will go and he'll bring bikurim. Shimon will bring the bikurim and read the parshas of bikurim." Reish Lakish amar mevi ve'eno korei. Reish Lakish says, "No, Shimon will bring the bikurim, but he will not read the parshas of Bikurim. Why? So this is the machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan, maybe v'korei k'sav kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf dami. Rabbi Yochanan will say maybe v'korei because kinyan peros are like kinyan aguf, and since Shimon now owns the peros, so it's his karka. Meaning it's considered like it's his karka, and he's allowed to go and read the whole parshas of Bikurim. Reish Lakish amar mevi ve'eino korei. Reish Lakish says he could bring it, but he can't read the parshas of Bikurim because kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami. His statements in the parshas of Bikurim will be inaccurate because part of the parshas of Bikurim declares that the field that these peros were brought from is mine. The land is mine. Now, if kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami, the land is not his. He only owns the peros. He doesn't own the guf. So we already see that there's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish about kinyan peros kinyan aguf. Now there is a machlokas Rosh Bam and Tosos over here about why it is that it's mevi ve'eino korei according to Reish Lakish, right? Rosh Bam writes mevi ve'eino korei in the second to last skinny line, she'enu yach likros ha'adama shenasatali. He can't read the words ha'adama shenasatali because it's not his land. Umi u'ba'ava achayiv, but he's still chayiv to be mevi. Why is he chayiv to be mevi? After all, it's not ha'adama shenasatali. No, d'chsiv ha'shatevi me'artzecha. Because it says to bring from your land, shari shibidlo yunika sakarka leperosav. And it is called artzucha. So artzucha it's called, but hadama shenasatali it's not called. The mechayiv of havas bikurim is artzucha. The mechayiv of mikra bikurim is hadama shenasatali. Two different mechayivim in the pasuk. Sounds like it's two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah hava'a and a mitzvah kriya. Maybe more mitzvahs than that even. But anyway, so that Rashbam says there's a chilek. It could be artzucha, because the karka's meshubad for your yanika, but it's not hadama shenasatali. Says Tosas, that's totally incorrect. Pirush b'kuntras mevi mishum dad maskha karina bay ve'en akari delo karina bay min hadama shenasatali v'tema di karina bay ad maskha karina bay nami min hadama shenasatali. If it's ad maskha, it's also hadama shenasatali. Why should there be a difference? Why should we say, yeah, it is ad maskha because I get the yanika, but it's not hadama shenasatali? What do you mean? Why isn't the yanika enough to call it hadama shenasatali? V'nira shetiknu midrabanan lahavi mishum kinyan peros. He says, avu kriya lo midarmin ma'mok svina mishum demechzi kishikra o mishum dasi lafuki mitrubim meiser. He says, no, First of all, midaraisa, he doesn't have to bring it all. He's not the owner of this karka. Midrabanan, they were misakin that he should do avas bikurim. He can't do kriyas bikurim midrabanan because it's mechsi kishikra, because it is a lie for him to say adam, to say the words hadam asher nasatali. It's one thing to bring it, even though the mechayiv is only artzicha, but it's another thing to actually say the words that this is hadam asher nasatali. That he can't do. That's mechsi kishikra. Or we're afraid it's asilaf gui mitruma meiser, because people are going to think that it's real bikurim midaraisa, even though it's only midrabanan. So anyway, but back in our Gemara, the kasha is, we already learned this machlokas once. Why does Rabbi Yochanan Rishon need to repeat the machlokas? Some look Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan will respond, Afagav the Yalma Kinyan Peres Kinyan Guftami. Even though typically we say Kinyan Peres counts Kinyan Guf, Hacha Itzrich. In our case, we need to be told it again, because Salkatay Techamina Abi Legabi Brei Achule Achil. I might think that the father Legabi the son will be Mochel, even though the father retains the Kinyan Peros. I might say he doesn't really retain that full Kinyan on the Karka because he's Mochel that to the son. He has such love for his son. Kama Shalom. Therefore, we have to be told no. If the father is retaining the Kinyan Peros, he's the owner. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Afal Gav to be Alma Kinyan Peros Lav Kinyan Agufdami. Hacha Itzrich. Rabbi Shimon Lakish will tell the opposite. He'll say that even though typically, Kinyan Peros is lav kikinin aguftami. By the father and the son, you need to be told again that it's not kikinin aguftami because you would have thought it is. Why? Salka taita chamina kol legabe nafshei. That whenever it's me versus the other guy, even afilu b'makom brei, even if it's me versus my own son, nafshei adifalei, I certainly want to retain the actual kinyan in the karka. Kamash malon, the Kinyan Peros lav kikinin aguftami. Even when it's Abba Legabe Berei, the father doesn't retain anything. Okay, we'll pick up from Esve tomorrow.